Welcome to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm back. I'm Levi. And today's episode is called This Is Freedom, which might sound like a George Michael song or a 4th of July parade float.
Or Toby Keith.
Right. But we promise it's better than that. We're talking about holiness. And if that makes you flinch a little, don't worry. Us too.
Yeah, we're not here to hand out gold stars for religious performance, though I like a gold star every now and then. We're actually here to talk about what holiness really is, and it's not about what you think. It's not about guilt, it's about freedom, and it's not the enemy of joy, it's actually the path to it.
Which is kind of a wild thought, right? Because when most people hear holiness, they think of, I don't know, rules, of pressure, of being scolded for not doing it enough, or Grandma Mildred wagging her finger because your shorts were too short in 2003.
Yeah, right? Like, all the rulers, right? It is usually associated with doing more and trying harder and constantly failing, right? And then feeling guilty enough to rededicate your life at a youth rally.
But the scripture doesn't say that. It doesn't say be miserable because I am miserable.
Well, that would be a horrible verse.
Yeah, not a big seller, right?
No.
It says something very different. It actually says in Galatians 5:1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Talking about what the cross did for us, what Jesus did for us, that he came for us to set us free from our sin and all of that, the shame and the regret. And then it says, be holy, for I am holy. So maybe holiness isn't about restriction, it's about restoration.
Yeah, that's a really interesting idea. And I guess, you know, we haven't talked about Bubba and Sally Sue in a while.
I know. They're right? Fun, though. They're a fun couple.
I think they are.
Yeah.
So maybe we could talk about them again.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that, right? I don't know. What do you think this looks like for Bubba and Sally Sue?
I imagine Bubba sitting on the front porch in a kind of a faded lawn chair, sipping sweet tea, starting out over just life, thinking about it and really thinking about, you know, how life all comes together. And he looks over at Sally Sue and he says, Sally Sue, can I ask you something kind of churchy?
And, you know, Sally Sue's always like, yeah, Bubba, sure. Hit me.
And he says, what does holiness actually mean? Like, for real, not the Sunday school answer. I know you're good at that. You've gotten all the attendance awards.
Well, you know, and Sally Sue thinks to herself, it's not about attendance awards or gold stars. It's not about being perfect. And it sure ain't about being boring. It's about being whole, the way God meant us to live. I think holiness is when you wake up in the morning without regret. When you kiss your spouse goodnight knowing you didn't fake a single word all day. It's when your phone ain't hiding secrets and when your laugh comes easy and your peace runs deep. And when you can say that no old temptation, say no to that old temptation, not because you're scared of hell, but because you've tasted something better.
And old Bubba, I can see him tearing up just a little bit. So it's like being free, Sally Sue.
Yeah. Holiness isn't about trying harder. It's about living like someone who's already been set free.
And who doesn't want that? That's the kind of life we were meant to live. A life that isn't burdened. It isn't a burden. It's really just a gift that God has given us.
And we don't think about holiness like that.
I don't think we do. And I think what's interesting about Sally Sue's explanation, it's not about going to church every Sunday, which you should, but it's not about that. It's not about cussing in traffic, not to mention that there is a lot more traffic in Houghton, it feels like lately, and construction. She says it's about waking up without regret. It's when your phone isn't hiding secrets. It's when you say no to the old temptation, not because you're scared of hell, but you because you've tasted something better.
Yeah, I really like that idea that holiness is living free, right? Not fake or frantic, just full of God's presence and peace.
And if you're listening and thinking, well, shoot, I want that kind of holiness, good. That's what God wants for you, too.
All right, so let's change, let's pivot a little bit here. Let's move from the porch of Bubba and Sue to water.
Natural transition there. Yeah, right. Very natural, very natural.
Good one. Yeah, well, we're talking about baptism, and in Matthew 3, Jesus, who had no sin, gets baptized. And this, I've always found that really curious. Why is that?
Yeah, because he didn't need to be baptized. It wasn't the thing that was going to save him.
Right, and he's like holy from day one, right?
Yeah, he is righteous right? from day one. And it doesn't save us either, baptism. But I think the reason that Jesus did that was to really propel us or compel us that there's a different way of life. And this was kind of the start of his ministry. It was the start of him really living out in a loud version what he was set to do. He lived in holiness. He lived in obedience. And he did that before, but he was doing it now in public. And he did this in like really in wholeness, this connection to the Heavenly Father. And that moment wasn't about cleansing. It was really a commissioning moment for him.
Yeah, and baptism works that way for us too, right? It's not about cleansing for us either, right? Baptism isn't just a religious box to check, and it's not really a washing, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Romans 6 says, "Don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death so that we may live a new life?"
Yeah, it's this holiness thing. It's this public declaration that my old self is dead. I was buried with Christ, and now I'm made alive in Christ, and I'm not going back.
Yeah, it's the spiritual equivalent of updating your Facebook status to married, so the whole world knows you're taken. You belong to Jesus.
I like that. That's really good.
Yeah.
Okay, so after salvation, baptism doesn't cause salvation. You say yes to Jesus, what he did for you on the cross, that you're a sinner in need of a savior, and that savior is Jesus. But after, in that moment when you say that, there are things that are happening. There's a good work that starts. And so salvation happens, and then the Bible says to be baptized. It's a part of the journey. And then there's this thing called this really cool theological word called sanctification. Mm-hmm. And in Philippians, it says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." God didn't just save us from hell. He saved us into something. And there's a good work that is started when we say yes to Jesus.
Well, yeah. I mean, which means, yep, you've said yes to Jesus. But that yes is also an indication, like, that you're still a work in progress. Like, he's not done with you yet, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's like when you start a rental project. God's not just patching up drywall. He's gutting the whole thing and rebuilding you from the inside out.
Well, yeah, and that includes all of our relationships, but I think it shows up pretty clearly in marriage.
Yeah, and so
did you like that transition better?
Yeah, that was a good transition. Okay. You know, I think marriage is really it's really a sandpaper of sanctification. And it rubs off. Like, I don't know about you, but I think my wife has said that I have some rough edges. I don't know if Matt has said that about you.
No, not me.
See, I just need a little sandpaper. You probably needed a rock tumbler.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
Ouch. Oh, whoops. Okay. Did I say that out loud? That was just in my head.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I really like what Tim Keller once said. He has a really good book about marriage. And in that book, he writes, "The purpose of marriage is to make you holy more than to make you happy." I think we get marriage wrong, actually most relationships wrong, when we think that they're about making us happy, right? Like, we think that if this person can fulfill me or this person you know, whatever you fill in the blank with that, with what happiness means to you. That's not what our community is designed for. It's not what marriage is designed for. It's actually about making you holy more than making you happy.
Yeah, well, I think also our culture kind of says, well, if I'm not happy, then I can get rid of this thing.
Right.
And God's like, no. No, I made this thing. This is a covenant marriage, and you need to stay in the rock tumbler for a bit longer, right?
You're right.
You need to stay in this because you are the one that is being refined or sanctified or restored through this. As that marriage, the Bible talks about marriage in a really interesting way. It says the two become one. And there's like this mirroring or this understanding all of a sudden of this other person, and they can see you probably better than anyone else can see you. And they're trying to help you, hopefully, to move in the direction toward God. And so I think that the quote, the purpose of marriage is to make you holy more than happy, is really true. It's just really hard. Like, I don't know about at your house, but I don't know if Matt does well at this. I am not the greatest dishwasher loader.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just put it in when there's space. And
yeah, that's not how you do it, though.
I've realized this.
Feral cat putting things in the dishwasher.
Well, I realized this, but you know, one of the things I think in my head is, you know, they're not really arguments; they're disagreements about how the dishwasher should be loaded and what it should be doing.
Have you never played Tetris before? There is a place for all those blocks in the dishwasher.
This is kind of true. My way works too. And so maybe I should be just saying, God, thanks for sanctifying me in this moment instead of complaining about, like, why is she so particular about the dishwasher?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's easy to say marriage is about holiness, not happiness, when you're not in the middle of like
a dishwasher fight,
right? Yeah, right. Marriage is beautiful, but it's where our worst habits come in. They really come to the surface, like before your coffee kicks in, right? First thing in the morning, you know, Matt knows when I'm in a mood. I don't even have to have my coffee.
Yeah, the selfishness is there.
All the things.
Yeah. The little angry yippy dog thing is
nice.
Sorry, it just came out again.
Wow.
My wife knows that those things about me too, and I mean there is just a refinement of, hey, this is how you need to think differently about this. And I think God designed marriage to really actually create holiness in us. And in Ephesians 5, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church and has made her holy. And there's this picture of marriage really pushing us toward this holiness.
Yeah, and I think what we see is that marriage, it can't be about perfection, right? It's actually
hopefully
about,
not, because right? I'm not getting the gold star.
Right. None of us are, right? But just like all of the sort of, we've been talking about spiritual disciplines, they're a practice. They're a discipline for a reason. And marriage is a relationship that looks like a practice in grace and patience and not losing your mind over the wet towel on the bed, right? Like all those things. It's a practice.
Yeah, it's a practice in grace. It's a practice in patience. And I think God has given us a spouse that matches who we are, and there's a saying, opposites attract. And I think it's because it rubs some of those rough edges that we have off. And so in marriage, it's not, well, God, help me to be happy. It's, Lord, thanks for sanctifying me. I'm in discipleship training in those little arguments and those moments that are frustrating. That God is using those, hopefully, to complete that good work through your spouse.
But yeah, I feel like maybe our listeners shouldn't like take that as an opportunity to just like scream at their spouses, thanks for discipleship training.
Here's a little sandpaper for you.
Yeah, God does use our marriage like sandpaper, right? Just refining us day by day. But the thing is, it's actually sacred work. We're not just surviving marriage. We're being formed by it.
Yeah, I like that. Being formed by it. That's a really good statement that God is using that. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't use your singleness and isn't at work with you. But I think one of the ways that he does it is that he does it through marriage. And what does all this all mean? How do we land the plane, if you will? What does it look like to step into freedom if we're talking about holiness?
Well, yeah, I mean, I really like the connection between holiness and freedom, because to say that we're forgiven is one beautiful thing, but then to say that we're forgiven and then we're free is an entirely different understanding, right? And 1 Thessalonians, the letter that Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, he says, God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. It's an invitation to live differently and to live freely.
Yeah, you don't have to go back to the shame. You don't have to go back to the regret. You don't have to go back to being stuck. You've been raised with Christ in this new way. If you've said yes to Jesus, you've been raised with Christ. You identify with his death, burial, and resurrection, his blood shed for you. Your sins are forgiven, and that is absolutely true. And then he invites you to live in holiness.
Well, yeah, and what do you think the difference between, we started this conversation by saying it's not about like this drudgery obligation, perfect, like have the ruler for the super short shorts. Like what do you think we need to do to start thinking about holiness in terms of freedom and living freely rather than binding ourselves to a set of rules that actually sounds really restrictive?
Yeah, I don't think you bind yourself to a set of rules. You bind yourself to Jesus. And I mean, he's the one who brought freedom. He's the one who understood freedom. He was free from all, he was free from all of the sin that so easily entangles us. And the temptation with Satan, I mean, it was just all of those major things that we deal with. The temptation to power, the temptation to, when he's walking after that 40 days, that temptation to power, the temptation to stuff, the temptation of all of those things. And he just flips the switch. Even when he like walks into places, if you notice what Jesus does is like when he becomes super popular and powerful, he leaves and he walks humbly away because that's not what he came to do. He lives life in a different rhythm and a different way. And I think as we bind ourselves to him and to his ways, like, God, how do I do this? How do I love my wife when she's yelling at me for the dishwasher? How does she love me when I don't do it right? Like when we start to think in those terms and start to go, God, how would you do this? What does this look like? I think that's when we move out into that holiness, into that freedom that Jesus offers.
Yeah, and we don't have to do it alone either, right? I think that the community of faith, like the church that we're part of and the life groups that we're in or the relationships that we have in addition to if we're married or not, they actually serve as a support system for walking in and living in freedom and holiness together.
Yeah, one of the things I was thinking about as we were talking about this is, like, if you were 5 years ago, you were exactly in the same place that you are now in your freedom, I would go, man, what are you doing? Like, what's happening? Like, because God promises that he is doing a good work in you. And how are you restricting it? How are you thwarting his movement in your life for that transformed heart toward that freedom? How are you just going, man, I'd rather be in chains? Because I think that's a starting place.
Yeah, and I think just of the times, like even recently where God has been very clearly directing me towards a different understanding of my freedom of him. And sometimes it stings a little, right? Sometimes it's a little bit embarrassing, like, oh my gosh, I'm still dealing with this. You know, but on the other side, it's freedom. It actually isn't restricting of the thing that's good for me.
Yeah, I think the other thing is remembering how much God loves you and how much that he cares about you and how much that he wants this for you. It's like, you know, a parent looking at his kid, man, I just want the very best for them. And if they would just do this one thing, I mean, we have kids, and I don't know, my kids are sometimes knuckleheads. And I'm like, if you would just go in this way, you would find so much more joy and so much more purpose and so much more fulfillment. And sometimes they don't choose that. And sometimes they choose something different with their sibling or with what they're doing at that moment. But there is such a pleasure when you see them walking in the way that they're supposed to and doing the right thing. And there's such a freedom that comes out of their steps in that moment.
Well, yeah. And so, I guess for today, like, right, like, let's walk in holiness. Let's walk in freedom. Like, let's take the invitation to walk in the life that we were saved for.
Yeah. And God will keep, He will keep working on you and in you and through you one day at a time. And so until next time, we just challenge you to walk in holiness, walk in joy. And I would just say, husbands, maybe double check that dishwasher rack. And so maybe your refining process can stop there. And so until we see you again, this is good news you can use.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, you can just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.